Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 572 of the Drunk Treasures Podcast. I'm, as always, I'm Tyler, and join me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Man, there's been a lot of things that have been going on over this past week, including today. You know, we had our fantasy football draft
I had
stuff.
Three today. Both the...
You had three. Okay.
Yeah.
I know the one with the talking ship guys and the one that I created, but you actually had another one. Wow, that's
yeah. I didn't know I had it until I got the email about my league, about my draft results. So, yeah, okay.
What are you doing? Like another Moneyball league or something?
Yeah,
what?
Just a work one. So.
Okay. So there's a work one too. Yeah. But yeah, I'm actually kind of happy about that in terms of what I did for the talking ship one, like. Opening things were pretty good, and like the other one and stuff that we got done around like God, I think it was like about 7:30 or close to like 7:45 or something once that initial drafting was over. But yeah, I was highly happy about that because a lot of good players, a lot of good sleepers and everything. But other than that, though, the other good things going on this week. Well, it's definitely like that whole lull and stuff before Labor Day weekend, so we're. Workplace was sort of quiet in some aspects and stuff, but speaking of my workplace, I did get a new pickup this past week, and the new pickup is actually what I'm sitting in right now.
Oh, look at that.
So, at my workplace, we had a office chair that was donated to us. There was a couple of them, but this one, yeah, it's got some scratches, it's got some nits and stuff, but it's a Lazy Boy office manager chair, so it's like,
nice.
It feels good. The bottom portion of my back feels great. And it's
a
hell of a lot better. It's definitely a hell of a lot better than sitting on the metal chair with a pad on it that I had been doing for the past couple of months now.
I like that stage where you were sitting in that chair backwards for a little bit, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I was waiting for you to, like, like really, like, connect with the children and tell them how not to drink and drive.
That 90s PSA moment and stuff for Colonel Gould.
Yeah,
but oh my gosh! Other than that though, I did end up buying another game. I didn't invest inside of anything with Starfield right now. I decided to wait until it drops on the 6th on Game Pass because I wanted to pick up my copy of Armored Core 6.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was actually playing some bit of that today, but I won't go into much detail about it until what we've been playing. But let's just say that week was chill. Fun stuff or fantasy football stuff. Most importantly of all, man, it's like it's Labor Day weekend. It's that 3-day sort of stint and stuff to where things are starting to become chill before the fall season begins. And most importantly of all, football season starting.
Yeah.
Fairly soon.
Yeah. It is the we're heading to the stretch of like the like 4 or 5 week stretch where it's actually not miserable to live in Iowa for me. So that's pretty nice. We're like, oh, it's gonna football starting. It's gonna get nice. We're getting close to hoodie weather, which I love. For it's not hot.
Yeah.
It's not cold either. It's a little chill and it's nice. We got the pumpkin scented candles out. It's one of my favorite smells in the world. Thursday we got NFL back. Yesterday college is back. It's a beautiful thing, Gables. It's a beautiful time we live in. Wonderful time of the year.
Dude, speaking of college football weather and college football in general. Saw a funny picture on Facebook before we started recording and stuff, and it had to do with the Oregon Ducks. They're blowing out of Oregon State and
yeah.
Like 81 to something.
81 to
and
three.
Then the mascot actually ended up doing like 546 push-ups.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, what it is, but it's like he's got to do. Basically, every time he does a touch, like they get a touchdown, he has to do like I think 7 push-ups or like something like that. I can't remember what it is. I guess that math doesn't make sense, but like, yeah, he had to do a crazy amount of pushups. The good and bad of, college football where they let top 10 division one schools face bottom of the barrel division two teams.
It's the true fire sign that the college season has began and stuff. When you have the most established teams that have trashed the lower end teams to try to get their, season's all kicking out, looking all nice and neat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, how have you been doing, Tyler?
I'm doing all right, Gables, you know, clanging and banging as always. It is, like I said, it's Labor Day weekend. Feels nice, feels good. Just watched an awesome AEW All Out pay-per-view. Buzzing off of that one. Finally feeling good. Last week I was in rough shape, drinking Starry on the podcast and water because I was super sick from the heat. And finally, you know, after, you know, about a week, finally felt better. And last few days, doing better. Finally was able to start drinking some beer. I haven't had a beer in a couple weeks, so that was good. I think I'm like an alcoholic or anything like that. I don't drink. I literally only drink when we do the podcast, but I do enjoy these beers when I do this podcast. I have four every week. That's what I have. That's my quota. Yeah, it feels good. You know, I also was able to take off Tuesday from work, and then my day off on Wednesday. I actually, for the first time in 4 months, took my day off from work. I actually have a nice 5-day weekend, which worked out perfectly with Starfield coming out. I didn't do this because of Starfield coming out. It just kind of happenstance worked out with like the whole, you can pay the $30 if you have Game Pass. You can just pay $30 to get the game 5 days early. So it worked out where I was able to, I'm off for 5 days. Might as well just pay that $30 and play Starfield. So I've been playing Starfield.
Right.
It's been pretty good. I'll talk about a little more later when we get to what we've been playing. But yeah, otherwise, you know, Gables, I'm doing pretty good, feeling pretty good. Like I said, enjoying the college football, getting ramped up for NFL and just relaxing finally for the first time in several months, finally being able to just kind of relax and not do a goddamn thing, hopefully, for the next I got 3 more days of this little vacation, and hopefully I can enjoy every goddamn minute of it, it's nice. I've been kind of like crawling my way to this break here, so hoping to enjoy it. But Gables, we're not here to talk about what we've been doing, what's going on with us. We're here to talk about fucking video games, goddamn it.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. If you guys like video games, you like what we're doing here, you want to help support us out, we're just two guys like get together every week. And normally we record on Saturday night, show goes up Sunday, but because of Labor Day weekend, we push back a day to just kind of enjoy the Saturday, enjoying Saturday for once. And it was nice staying up late playing some Starfield last night. But if you like all this, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out wherever podcasts are on. We're there, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all those places. Please like, follow, subscribe. There are 5-star reviews, shares, tell your friends. There are links down in the description below with links to all of our service, all the servers, services, whatever the fuck you want to say, that we're on. So, like I said, click on those things. Even if you don't, you know, you watch us on YouTube, but you don't really use Apple or Spotify or anything like that, just go over there, give us a click, give us a follow, give us a subscribe, leave a 5-star review, download the podcast, give us a little bumps. We can use it. We can be nice, give some thumbs up, all that. But do that for us. But Gables, Let's get into the news here. So, start off here. There's been some rumors about a Direct coming up. Well, we had a Direct, but maybe not the one we all wanted. But we got a Direct all together. So, start off here, Gables. We got a Super Mario Brothers Wonder a Direct. About 15 minutes breaking down everything that's going on with that game. Kind of the differences going on. So, kind of some of the main stuff here is like this one takes place in the Flower Kingdom. Bowser touches the castle and like takes some drugs and now he is a castle. There are six worlds in this game. I imagine there'll be more, like there are in every other game. There's like the harder ones. They have some new power-ups in there. They have like a goddamn it, I scrolled and I lost it. We'll get back to it. But they did say there are 8 playable characters. You have Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy for the first time ever. There are 2 different Toads, but they play the same. The kind of big difference there is Daisy, because first time ever they can play as Daisy in a Mario game. They did say, though, that none of the players will have different abilities. So, like, Luigi doesn't have the high jump. Peach doesn't have, like, the float that she does. But they did say like Yoshi and Nabbit are the other 2 playable characters, and they are basically like the super baby mode type of thing where they don't take damage. Yoshi does have the flutter jump, and he can actually eat objects and like or spin them back to them. Or you can also like if you're playing multiplayer, you can actually jump on that Yoshi's back. If you're playing as 2 Yoshis, you can jump on the other Yoshi can jump on the other Yoshi's back. So they have that kind of like we see Nabbit with when they did the port for New Super Mario Brothers Wii U to the Switch, where they brought Nabbit into that, and like he was basically just like unstoppable. They can die though if they like you fall to your death or like you hit lava. Like that's the only way you can die. The talking flowers was kind of teased in the last game or the last when they initially revealed it. It's just, yeah, the flowers talk to you. It's pretty fucked up, Gables. They show off a bunch of new power ups here. Like they tease the elephant Mario, and now it shows more abilities. Like now they showed off all the other characters that when they turn into an elephant. Like kind of cool. They all have like little. They all kind of look a little different. They have new abilities, or you can actually with the elephant, you can actually like store water in their trunk, and you can use it to attack enemies or stuff like that, break blocks, whatever. You can do with that one. I believe Elephant Mario, Elephant whatever character can also like charge and break through blocks too. And but they have like the bubble and the drill powers are revealed. Like the drill, you can actually like drill into the ground. You can like or like even in the ceiling, and like you can use like go through areas. Sometimes you can help find secrets. They have the bubble that will actually you can shoot out. And you can jump on them and like help give you a boost up to higher areas, or you can actually like it'll actually like hit other enemies and put them in a bubble as well. A few other abilities like that on top of it. They have the Wonder Flower, which is like you hit that, it'll change the levels. Like sometimes you start floating, or like your character is now running on the wall, stuff like that. And you have to find another Wonder Flower to then stop that ability. They also announced the badges, where there's kind of like a perk system where like you can pick one badge. You unlock badges as you go. There's like sometimes you have to like do certain things to unlock these badges, but you can use badges to like change the way you play. Like some of them, like you have I think one's called the safety bounce, where like if you hit the lava once, you can hit the lava once without dying, and like you'll jump back up to like your onto like the stage and you're fine. You have a coin magnet which will pull the coins towards you. You have the jet run that will like it just turns to a runner level, and like your character will just run without stopping. They did announce 4-player co-op will be there, which already kind of knew there. There is an online mode, but it's like basically like ghost mode, essentially, where like I don't think you can play like the main game with friends. I this is a part that I'm a little lost on, and maybe you know, like I couldn't really find out for sure, but like I don't think you can actually just, you know, like you and me can just hop on a game online and play the game together. Like your ghost can follow around. There's different modes. There's like the race mode. Like you can race each other to like the end of levels. I'm just double checking. I'm reading an article here. Traditional online multiplayer was not revealed during the direct, so it hasn't been confirmed yet. But there are like little mini games you can play together online with other people. And then if you join online servers, you can actually like see people running around, and like they have like it's almost like Death Stranding in a way, where like you can put like a post down, and like if you die, you can go back to that post, and like other people can use those posts, and you can use other people's posts. It's kind of like a checkpoint kind of thing, and like you get more points for people to use it, stuff like that. And last but not least, here they announced the OLED Switch. That's a Mario one. It's got it's basically just Mario Red, the whole thing, even the dock itself. So pretty cool looking. I think that comes out October 6th, but it does not include the game or anything. You have to buy that separately. A lot of information thrown out there, Gables. I'm kind of curious, how are you feeling? How excited are you? Did this make you more or less excited? Are you about the same from where you were than when they initially revealed it?
Honestly, I'm kind of like the same from when they initially revealed and stuff. I think this is going to be a fun, awesome Mario game that releases in October. I mean, I didn't really need to see much more of it to be convinced that I would want to play this, you know. But at the same time, knowing the extent of what characters are going to be playable in the game, what type of features inside this game is going to make this a little bit more unique as opposed to other 2D Mario games. And on top of that, the gimmick with the whole like Wonder Seeds and stuff, and how they just so much chaos that's involved instead of a kind of like a structured sort of level design, you know. It's fairly fascinating. I mean, at one point inside of this direct, you see like Mario actually walking on the background.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was actually pretty funny. Just looking at that sort of top-down perspective and stuff from something that's kind of traditional and stuff, but just breaking barriers in regards to what could potentially be done inside of a 2D Mario game. But yeah, as far as playable characters, you know, that's fine and stuff. I mean, if they wanted a couple different characters to choose from that have, like, newer players set in mind, you know, with Nabbit or the different Yoshi, pick whatever color you want and stuff, or even some of the other characters, say, like, with Toad and, like, with Toadette and stuff, you know. But at the same time, it's basically the type of characters that most people have wanted to play inside of, like, a regular Mario game. with the exception of maybe like a few, maybe like a Donkey Kong or like a Rosalina or whatsoever, some. Yeah. But at the same time, it's mostly the type of characters you would expect. As a matter of fact, it's just surprising that Daisy has been playable in the Mario game, like a mainline Mario game, ever since of her inception, like on the N64.
It's been sports games.
Or sports games itself. But even so, Super Mario Wonder looks like it's just going to be a fairly fun, enjoyable experience. And that's what I'm most looking forward to playing next month.
Oh, God, you're right. Next month. It is next month. That's crazy. We're in September now. It's fucking wild. I'm about the same with you. I talked about it a while ago. Like, I did the voucher system, like, in June, I think. Whenever they revealed it. Like, I did the voucher system, and I bought a RPG, Mario RPG, and Mario Wonder pretty much immediately. So, like, I was already in. I've been pretty open and honest about the fact that I'm, like, never been, like, grown up a huge Mario fan. Like, I grew up, like, my fandom for Mario was, like, I was a Game Boy guy growing up and, like, a DS guy, really, for the most part, until really, like, the Wii U of all things was, like, the big thing. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I had the Wii. I fell off that really quickly. But like, really, the last, like, decade or so has, like, really changed that for me as a gamer for Nintendo. And, like, my love for, like, Mario has been, like, sports games and, like, Mario Land. So, of all things. And, I played the new Super Mario Brothers. I beat the first one they did on DS. I didn't really care for the one on 3DS. The Wii one. I only ever played that at friend's house. I never owned it. I only ever played it at friend's house. And it's like doing the multiplayer thing is like fun in theory. And then after about an hour, you hate everybody. You hate all your friends. And then like, I played the one, that was on Wii U, the launch one on Wii U initially. And I thought about like, it wasn't a bad game, but it's like, I think I always say about Nintendo was like, even like a bad Nintendo game for the most part is like usually a 7.
Normally. Yeah. Still kind of enjoyable. It's cool.
Yeah. Except for Codename Steam. That game was trash. It was a 7 out of 10 Mario game. I'm not gonna say it's a 7 out of 10 like game in general, but I just didn't really care for it. I fell off after like 2 worlds. It was fine. And I think that's the same way for a lot of people where it's like the art style, the gameplay, like all that. Like I look at this though, like I really feel like the gameplay is much different. Like as far as like it looks very similar to that. Like you can only change a 2D Mario so much. But it's like it's really the style of everything else that is really what's drawing me in. I think that's gonna be the major difference. Is like we like really in the end, like we wanted something like new from Mario as much as you can make a new 2D Mario. This is it right here. It's like, and I talked about this a little while ago where like, that this isn't the main 2D Mario team. This is a younger team that did this one for the most part. And this is kind of what they came up with. And it's kind of like, I'm not trying to compare this to Breath of the Wild here, but like, it's kind of the same thing you heard about like Zelda Breath of the Wild, where it's like, they really let a lot of younger people on staff work on that. And like, that's where we got Breath of the Wild came from. A lot of the ideas and everything kind of came together from, you know, the younger people on staff and with new, fresh ideas, stuff like that. And just have a lot of new blood in there. And I think this is what that is. And like, it's pretty awesome that like with everything going on here, I think like, the talking flowers, it's so non-Nintendo in a lot of ways what they're doing here in ways where it's like, you don't expect them to do this. Some of the stuff here, like just like the voice acting in general. And like just the voice of the flowers is fucking hilarious where it's just like, just sounds like a dude, you know. There's like no, like, you know, there's nothing like fantasy about it. It's not like, you know, Peach is like, just sounds like a generic damsel in distress, or like, you know, it's like Luigi Mario, just like some, you know, some Italian dudes.
It just sounds like some sort of person's like out of body experience or something like that, like a drug trip out or something, to where all of a sudden flowers are talking to him.
Yeah. It literally sounds like something you would expect to have, like, you know, a 90s teen comedy when one of the guys is like, one of the dudes on the couch is like tripping balls. And yeah, I think the style like is there. I think like the badges is kind of a cool idea. Like there's also like, looks like there's difficulty modes, like little things too, where like you can just like, after you beat a level, you don't have to walk back to it. You can just, like bring up like all the levels on a map, or like all the levels up on the screen. You can just pick and go right to them. What's interesting is like, now you don't have to like beat them in order. When you get to a new world, you can beat them in any order you want to, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is. It's really interesting that they go that route and stuff, since we're so used to traditionally, okay, we got to beat World One, then we can go to either World Two or something. But they have been sort of hinting to like an extent, like to an extent of being able to choose which type of worlds you want to go and experience first.
I believe the worlds you have to play in order, but like it's
Oh.
not you have to you don't have to do 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. You
Oh,
can just
okay.
do and you once you get to a world, you can just do all those in any order. I believe. I could
Right.
be wrong, but I don't think you can just like well yeah, no, because like you have to collect a m certain amount of wonder seeds to unlock the next area and
Right,
unlock certain
right.
levels. So yeah. That's pretty cool. I like that idea. This is kinda for me personally, like you know, someone that's not like a hardcore Mario fan, like 2D Mario fan, like I'm just kind of, I was kind of open for like really anything here from them, and so far what I'm seeing, I'm liking it. And yeah, it's just a matter of like how good of you know can this game be? How much can they nail the style? And I'm definitely looking forward to on Extra Life Gables, you and me hopping online
Oh,
and
yeah.
trying to dick around a little bit here. It's I'm curious how like how deep this online stuff goes because we've been fooled in the past about Nintendo and their online capabilities
Yes.
and like what the features there. And I'm wondering how like deep the shit's actually gonna go, to it. So I'm gonna try to be hopeful, but I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop there. But I wasn't even expecting like the way they were talking about it, and like they only ever mentioned a local co-op. So I was kind of surprised they even had that. But I'm kind of disappointed that like it doesn't sound like we're gonna have actual like a full you and me can't just play the game through together. But I'll wait and see. I imagine we'll hear more from them later, about that game. There'll be more stuff, and well, at the very least, we'll find out October 20th and. Moving on here, Gables. So, moving on over to PlayStation here. We had an announcement here that PS Plus will be getting an increase on September 6th. So that is, it is, for me, it is the 4th. It's 12:30 in the morning here, so it's the 4th for Gables. It's the 3rd. September 6th, though, on Wednesday, just drop that in right the same day Starfield comes out. There'll be a price increase on PS Plus Essential plan, which is the basic plan, goes from 60 to 80. There are monthly plans as well on top if for people that want to do that, but I don't have the prices on hand for that. Extra plan, which is that middle tier, it goes from $100 to $135, and then the premium plan goes from $120 to $160. Like I said, that was going to affect on the 6th. Gables, I don't have a lot to say on this one. Like, there's not. I don't know what to say because it's like, I am extremely frustrated by this. You know, like there's no defending this. And I get like, it's so annoying when it's like people are like, ooh, it's capitalism. I fucking know how capitalism works. I'm so sick of like, when like you complain about any little tiny thing, people's like, oh well, it's you know it's capitalism. People, you're gonna pay for it, right? Well, that's what they're gonna do. Like I know that. We know that. I'm fucking aware. I understand. You know, how. Price gouging and capitalism work, all that bullshit, and like, you know, things are only worth as much people are willing to pay. I get all that. It's so fucking annoying when people try to explain that shit to you. Doesn't mean I cannot be frustrated by this.
Yes, because it is completely frustrating, not just from a consumer point of view and stuff, but it's frustrating this past year that we have increases to now both the Xbox like Game Pass service and stuff, and now the whole PlayStation Plus subscription stuff. The PlayStation Plus subscription stuff hurts the most too in some regards, because it's not just like maybe $5 here or $5 there tacked onto everything, but no, in specific tiers is either anywhere between 20 to like about almost like fucking 50
Forty,
something
forty
dollars,
dollars.
depending, $40. Yeah, thank you. Depending upon what type of plan that you select and stuff. There's no defending this. Absolutely. The increases in terms of the cost for these online subscription stuff is getting borderline ridiculous. I mean, in aspect, yeah, we kind of figured that sooner or later they were going to be that these companies, like both Microsoft, both Sony and stuff, maybe sometime, maybe Nintendo will follow suit. Who knows?
Oh, God.
But that's something you can't keep. That's something you have to keep in mind too, because if Nintendo does decide to add on more stuff to it, they'll increase their prices as
Or
well.
even if they don't add any, like they're not adding anything to this one. There's
Yeah.
no, like usually when there's a price increase, like there's like a spin. We're like, hey, we're adding this, you know,
Right,
and
right.
there's no spin here. It's like, hey, we're doing this, and like they're announcing this like when they're like, hey, they're giving us Saints Row. Thanks, for giving us a 65 out of 100 with on the same day this goes through.
Right. I know. Yeah, I understand that. You know, that's just a good example of like what could potentially go through and like happen in that regards. But yeah, I really don't like the Sony one at all, only because of how much is actually being increased upon. I mean, granted, you can debate like what the value is for like their PlayStation Plus Extra or like even like the premium version, like how much content you're really getting out of this stuff. But if you're just a casual person looking in and stuff and you want to play online for your system and stuff, an $80 minimum is fairly steep.
Yeah,
just in order to play basic online. It's more than the cost of a regular game. Whereas before, you know, $60 a year, okay, you get PlayStation Plus, you get the free games, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I mean, granted, you know, it's like give or take what are going to be good, what are going to be not. I mean, but yeah, I could say that not just that, but also for even the example for like Microsoft with like with Game Pass or even their online stuff as well, is there's a minimum, there's definitely like the increase of cost for both sides and stuff is just getting to the point for a lot of like maybe casual consumers looking in and stuff. It's like double checking. It's like, I'm already paying this for subscription stuff. I mean, do I really need PlayStation Plus if I say if I have a PC and I can play online for free, or if I have this other system or this thing, you know? But at the end of the day, we understand that, yeah, these price increases are terrible. At the same time, each individual gamer is going to have to look inside and do, it's basically decide for themselves, hey, is this the initial value worth this actual increase here, or are you just going to stay with the base value even though, and still invest into it despite us just completely hating it? I know, for example, for me and stuff, I mean, I was already paying for the middle tier anyway for like the PlayStation Plus Extra. So, you know, playing games like with Stray or like maybe trying out Humanity or something, or trying out Chia or whatever the hell. But now with this increase in mind, oh yeah, Sea of Stars too, if I choose to, even though I got to download it on Game Pass here on the Xbox. Yeah. But the point being is, it's like, I can only say an example of what would work for me. Even under like the new increase and stuff, it's still $80 a year is definitely a higher increase for like the base value and stuff. But compared to what I was initially doing with the middle tier, I was already paying like 100 something like that for the entire year in general. So yeah, even though it's going to be lower for me, for anyone else that's looking in and stuff, if you're investing inside of a PS5 and you know for a fact you got to spend another $80 on top just to have basic online stuff, I mean, that's definitely a detractor, and it definitely is sort of like a thinking moment too. But yeah, you know, it's like, I really don't see too much of like a solution to this unless people vote with their wallet and somehow this goes down as like a big black eye for Sony or something and they lose revenue as a result. But at the same point, I don't really see this really being a detriment like for Sony really at all, because people will invest into it.
Yeah, I mean, because
like a year at $80, they would still do it. So,
I mean, because they don't really give you an option at this point.
They're not.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at it now where it's like most games nowadays require online to play. Like, you know, some of the biggest games this year, you can't play without being online. Like Diablo 4. You know, if you want to play single player, you have to be online. For me, like, I play hundreds of hours every year of Madden. I literally can't play Madden. I can count on one hand how many games I played online against another person in the last decade. And I can't play, I just do franchise. I can't play my franchise mode without being online. You know, it's like, I don't use the party chat for the most part. Really, Gable's not for the most, like, pretty much his extra life, and then maybe a couple other times outside of the year we get the free stuff, but like I don't really ever use it. But like I said, but I'm the type of person that, like, if there's a game I'm really excited for, most of the time I just play it at launch or near launch.
Exactly. And even for people, even though, well, for party chat in general and stuff, yeah, we use the chat feature maybe like once or twice a year, get bear or take whatever gamer night stuff that we do with friends, or like if we're doing extra life or something.
Yeah,
but for many gamers just looking in and stuff, let's say if you're like graduating from high school for the first time, like say if you're 18, 19 years old or something, you really want to get into gaming or something like that, or you want to expand stuff and you see these systems and stuff and you're trying to weigh your options of what would be the best bang for your buck. if it were, say, personally me, if I wasn't invested in any of these ecosystems, I probably would be predominantly PC because of not just saving costs for, like, in terms of playing games for online stuff, but probably because, hey, if I even get into a Game Pass, I could still play it on my PC. I could still go through and buy certain PlayStation games on Steam. Granted, they're like maybe a year or two removed from being on there. But yeah, I could really see with people just buttoning down with their budget stuff that I could see plenty of people just like saying no to maybe buying a PS5 or maybe no to buying an Xbox Series system because they could predominantly just play what is available on the PC, invest some time and money into upgrading their own rig or something like that, maybe having like what people do right now, have like a portable Switch, you know, have a Switch or have maybe have a Steam Deck or whatever the hell, and just go for it from there. But overall, I think you and I could just both agree this just completely just blows.
Yeah, like I have the premium plan right now, but it's only because I upgraded Essential because it was like $30 to upgrade when they did when they brought the new plans in, and then like they had a sale going on where it was like discounted to upgrade, so I upgraded for like $12 to premium, and I've never used premium once. Like it's more so if you want to play the classic games like PS2, PS3, Extreme PS3, PS2, and PS1 games. Essential is really like I think Essential is actually the better plan. Of the two, it's like it's weird to me they didn't swap them, because that's more of the modern day stuff. And like I said, it's every gamer is different. Like if you're like you're not playing games at launch, and you're like just you know like most people that we know that I talk to, it's like they're playing games that like came out for the first time. They're like I hear them talking about, oh, this game's awesome. It came out like 3 years ago. It's like, this is probably sometimes we're in a bubble with the and like it's so easy to be in a bubble. With like that's why I was talking about like I always like to read the MPDs, Circana, whatever you want to call them now.
Yeah.
Because I like seeing like kind of what's going on in like outside world of gaming, like outside of our bubble. You get into where it's like most people don't play games at launch. Essentially I would if you told me like, you know, if you're a gamer that's just jumping in this generation and you haven't played, you missed the last 5 years of gaming, do I go into the PlayStation Essential? Or do I go into Game Pass? I would almost say Essential because the list of games on there is just better. But a lot of those games, you know, if you want to play PlayStation games, but you want to wait, you have to wait a year, year and a half, you're fine with that. There you go. But like for people like us, where like we play all those games, like I always talk about Game Pass. I save money on Game Pass because there's so many games that I would have paid for, and you know, I would have bought anyways with full price $70.
Well, yeah. Plus, you know, the option, even though, yeah, exactly. And like for Game Pass, you can just pay monthly, like about that 15 to maybe 17 or so, like
17,
that,
or you can buy 3 months for if you want a deal. You can buy 3 months for $45. So for $180 a year, you can get Game Pass. So $20 more in Ultimate.
So my question is, does Sony do like the same thing in terms of paying monthly?
They do
of
have
that
a
stuff?
Monthly option. I don't know what I don't have the price. I don't know if they even actually announced prices on hand.
That's weird.
But normally it's $10 for Essential was $10 a month beforehand.
Yeah.
Or you can do a year for $60. I don't know what the new price point will be. On top of that, probably like $12 or something like that. I wouldn't be shocked if like premium is like 18. Because Game Pass was already premium was 17 before, and then Game Pass went up to 17 to match that option. I imagine it's gonna be 18, 19, maybe 20 for a premium. On top of that, and I believe it was 15 for Essential or 13, something like that beforehand. So maybe add a couple bucks more there. Yeah, like I said, there's no solution here to this.
No.
This isn't like as egregious of like, remember a couple years ago, Xbox tried to double the price of gold to 60 to 120, and everybody lost their shit. And they the very next day, they're like, hey, we hear you, we fucked up, we're not doing it. It's like, I guess kudos to them in a way to like, hey, you listen and you turn it around, but also still kind of shitty of you to try that. We saw this just a couple years ago with PlayStation, where they tried to take it. They told everybody, "Hey, Gran Turismo and Horizon, stuff like that, and a few other games are like, you can if you buy it on PS4, you can upgrade for free to PS5." And then they tried to go back on that, and everybody flipped the lid, and they went back. Okay, well this, but after this, now you got to pay the $10 upgrade fee. So I don't know if it's as egregious as that. I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think they care. And when you're the dominant company out there, when as far as like, I'm not comparing Nintendo here, just PlayStation and Xbox, they're competing with each other, And when you're selling 2-to-1 on the Xbox, you can do this. So, and like I said, nowadays, like, you can't not have PlayStation Plus unless you're literally just playing Fortnite and Modern Warfare and not talking to people on party chat. There's, you can't not have it to do, just to do anything on the service. So, basically this was just like, it's the whole bitching, thing, but, God, I think we needed it. It's very frustrating. And,
yeah, absolutely. Well warranted.
Yes. They deserve it. So let's get into this. I talked about this, just a couple minutes ago, but the, July Circana report, formerly known as the NPDs. This is the, top 20 selling games, based off, money earned, not individual sales. This is for July. So this came out last week, but I delayed it because we had a bunch of other shit to talk about. So, let's jump into this top 20 list here, Gables. So, oh wow, you know, I looked at this a couple weeks ago and I haven't looked at it since. I forgot some of these sales. like, oh wow, really? Okay. So number 20, Gables, jumping in from 28 the previous month.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Black Ops 3.
Yeah. That was on.
That's a PS4 game,
that
dude.
That was like 2015, I want to say, maybe. Yeah, 2015, 2016. Yeah, very weird. Cool. Yeah, number 19 here. Still holding strong. Dead Island 2.
Okay.
Number 18, Marvel Spider-Man. Number 17, Miles Morales. Number 16, brand new game from Capcom, Exo Primal. Brand new in July. So you got to look at that.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Number 15, FIFA 23. Number 14, the old faithful here, Minecraft. Number 13, jumping all the way up from 83 the previous month, Gables, Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Dude, this has to be because of Activision, like Microsoft reviving the servers, dude,
yeah.
Because you're not going to have multiple, like, older, like, more Call of Duty games going into the top 20 of games sold unless something vital happened. And I just remembered that Microsoft actually fixed a lot of the server, like, a lot of the server issues for some of those older COD games, including the 360 games.
What's crazy, though, Gables, is that Black Ops 3 went from 28 to 20. Black Ops 2 went from 83 to 13.
Yeah.
So, like, they were still selling fairly well before that. So, it's just, goddamn.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of Old Faithful here, number 12, Mario Kart 8.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to number 11 here. Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Right.
Number 10, it'll be the show, 23.
Okay.
Number 9, actually jumping up from 16 into the top 10 again, Elden Ring.
Oh.
Number 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty crazy there. Imagine there must have been a sale or something. Usually this kind of stuff happens because of sales.
Yeah.
Or it could be Armored Core as well. Sometimes, like, we see, like, the Spider-Man games jumping in the top 20 here. Probably because of the new one coming out.
Yep.
Number 8, Street Fighter 6.
Okay.
Number 7, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Number 6, brand new Nintendo game came out in July, Gables. What was it?
Pikmin 4.
You're goddamn right. Number 5, Final Fantasy 16. Number 4, Hogwarts Legacy. Number 3. Oh, okay. I read the parentheses there. Modern Warfare 2. I thought it was the original one. It's the remake, the one from last year. I was like,
if that
was like,
the original
what?
One, I'd be like, what?
Yeah. I read the title and then I saw the parentheses here for 2022. I'm like, oh, okay. And number 2, Gables, Diablo 4. Number 1, pretty shocking here, Gables. Game that kind of came out and was actually pretty big and then immediately was destroyed by Baldur's Gate 3. Remnant 2.
That's right. Remnant 2 did come out in July, and people were really enjoying and playing that at launch, too.
Yeah.
And then completely, like you just
like
said,
a week and a half later,
got absolutely buried by Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah. So, pretty, this is maybe one of the weirdest months ever for us. We got just two random Black Ops games jumping in the top 20. Remnant 2 being number 1 is maybe the weirdest since what's that fucking Warner Brothers fighting game?
Warner Brothers fighting game,
Multiverses,
yes.
That was number two at launch, even though it was a free to play game, but everybody bought the Founders Pack.
Yes,
it
they
ended up
did.
being number two at launch. That was maybe the strangest thing since, but like, notice Rick Remnant 2 here. I figured that game would be on the top 20. I figured maybe like teens to like bottom of the top 10. Not number one though, but I sold Pikmin 4.
That's not surprising though. I mean, I guess people are really craving a third person shooter, dude.
I think it's first person. I can't remember. But that's that, you know, that's that Dark Souls like first like shooter game. So
yeah, it's actually fairly decent.
Yeah, everybody loved that. I heard like really good things about the first one, but then the second one just sounds like it's like they really improved upon it. So good for them for that. But it just kind of sucks that like, I mean, it's basically been the way things have been this year, but especially the last like 2 months where a big game comes out and it's immediately overshadowed by the next big game that comes out. We were literally just having this conversation last week where there's like a half dozen pretty big games that come out in the last like 2 weeks.
It's pretty much been like a gigantic wave of content in terms of game after game after game that is interesting, that has done well, and that a lot of them are fairly interesting. And it's been extremely hard just to keep up and actually play some of these games, especially if your real life is freaking busy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like times like these where it's like, I wish I worked in the actual video game industry. Like, and like, I'm not like, I know they have hard jobs and they deal with a lot of bullshit. I'm not saying that, but like, man, it's like sometimes like just getting these games early would be nice. Like
oh my God.
Not I don't
just
know. Like,
early,
if I could just get,
but
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. If, like, if I could just got Starfield like 2 weeks ago.
And it's, oh, like the time everyone else is like reviewing it.
Yeah. It's like, if I could have got that like 2 weeks ago and like, I don't have to worry about the fact that like in like 2 weeks, Mortal Kombat's coming out.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then 2 weeks after that, Assassin's Creed's coming out.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, Forza's coming out. And then 5 days later, Spider-Man and Mario's coming out. And then a week later, Alan Wake 2's coming out.
It's going to be like another 5 years before you catch up on this year's game releases.
Yeah, I don't know. Gables, we might have to delay the game of the year conversation until 2028 so I can play all the games. You're right. Yeah, so pretty cool little list here. One of the most eclectic lists so far. But yeah, pretty fun little list there. I always enjoy it. I like I said earlier, I like doing these. Like, I like reading through these. It's like one of my favorite things to look at every month for gaming. It just kind of like gives you like, kind of takes, like I said, takes you out a little bit of a bubble sometimes where like, it reminds you that Twitter's not the real world kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like, so, yeah, very, very fun little list there. Pretty shocking. But let's move with some other news this week, Gables. This one, take with a grain of salt here. This came from The Snitch. But Gables, you know, the Snitch, the Twitter account kind of blew up last year. Yeah. I didn't realize this, but it's a different Snitch now. That took over the account, and he's still leaked some stuff, but he's not like, I unfollowed him a while ago because he started like promoting other stuff. Like, I don't know, like, but basically someone bought the account and like they're leaking stuff, but it's like different and they don't do it very often. They mostly just tweet about like shit they're doing for money. But they did leak or announce that, there is God of War Ragnarok DLC, coming. Of some sort, it's in the well into development, but it's probably coming next year. No idea what it's gonna be about. There was a job listing from Santa Monica Studios about like talking about like, you know, some of the stuff that was required is knowledge of God of War. So very obviously they're working on something God of War related. And no idea if this is like, you know, like a smaller thing, or it could be like, it could very well be a kind of like an expand alone. And like the way we had like Uncharted Lost Legacy or Miles Morales.
Right.
So kind of keep an eye out for that. So that is going on there. PlayStation Portable is coming November 15th. Oh yeah. PlayStation Portable is now called the PlayStation Portable. We didn't talk about this last week.
They're calling it the PlayStation Portable.
Yes. The PSP lives, Gables, in the year of the Lord 2023. What is new again. It is $200 and it's coming November 15th. Yeah, I guess for me, like, I had no faith in PlayStation because, like, they've been charging premium prices for their stuff for a while now.
Right, right.
And, like, we just talked about, you know, PS Plus, they can get away with it, so they do it. And I thought 150 was, like, the perfect price, but I was, like, expecting, like, 300 the 250 for like 250 to 300 for this. So I guess 200 is like the high end of what I would consider acceptable for what this thing is. It's a like it's just like a stream. It's for streaming games. It's not for you know, actually, like you can't download anything onto it's a streaming service or streaming device. I don't know. Like it's this is like one of the things where it's definitely not for us. There's definitely people I know and like you know and I could see why this thing would be very valuable to them. It's kind of like you know I see it. They see like what the Switch is and you know it gives people like that for PlayStation. But I don't. This is not something for us. But I don't know. Like I don't think this thing is gonna be like. I don't think this thing's gonna sell like 3 to 4 million units, but like I could see it selling a couple million units. It's probably them that's acceptable. Like I think that's probably what they're counting on. What about you, Gibbles?
I think this is gonna sit, and not just sit. I think that it's going to be a product that is going to be highly forgettable. And quite honestly, even though it's not maybe aimed for you or I and stuff, because we're more well, I know I was. In terms of expecting a handheld from Sony to be something a little bit more substantial than just a streaming device that's lacking of certain features, including apparently Bluetooth stuff. But it just seems like a horrible product to me. I mean, granted, yeah, its main purpose is to stream PS5 games and stuff like that. But because of that, it's mainly only like designated to like maybe specifically portions of the house for your clothes, the actual PS5 system itself. I mean, granted, even with like the Switch, for example, at least I can go forth and like have games on the device. If I play whatever, that's fine. If I take it with me or something like that, you know, and play games on that without any type of online connection, I can still do that. But calling the PlayStation Portable, even when the PlayStation Portable does exist, and is definitely much more memorable than this piece of fucking garbage, I think, is such a stupid. It's like a fucking stupid name in general, dude. It's like I understand why they initially wanted to do it because okay, this is like a refresh of this and that and stuff like that, but I just do not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I guess I disagree a little bit where, like, they're not marketing this as, like, a Switch competitor. This is, like...
Right, I understand there's
this,
that,
like,
yes.
They've marketed this from the very beginning. This is a cloud streaming thing. Like, so, yeah, like, no, that's why I think that the 200 is, like, the max of where this thing should be priced at. Like, if it was, like... If you can download the game, it was almost like a Steam Deck. You can download things on it. And it was $300, like, that would be understandable to me. I can justify $300 for this thing. For that, but like I said, 200 is like the high end of where I would consider acceptable, probably. And I don't think this, like I said, I don't think they expect this thing to sell like 20 million units or 10 million units. Like I said, I think this thing will probably sell a couple million, and to them, that'll probably be a success. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, like, kind of how it works out. But like I said, we'll have to wait and see. I don't know. I don't know what they consider a success for this thing. And because it's definitely, we are not targeting target audience for this thing, but
probably 500,000.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Next up here, apparently, developers were able to play a Switch 2 at Gamescom.
Okay.
So nothing more to add to that, really, right now. Yeah, apparently that was a thing where, you know, we talked about what Nintendo was like hyping up the fact they were at Gamescom for the first time in 4 years. And then we just didn't hear anything from them at all at Gamescom. So,
yeah, it's not really too surprising to me. I mean, we all know that they're coming out with another system sooner or later. They just haven't announced it yet. But it doesn't surprise me because this is what game companies do. If they have, like, prototypes of systems and stuff and you want to see, like, certain games being showcased on a device, I mean, this is what companies do. They invite, like, people from the, like, maybe the press or something like that, or people inside the gaming industry in general is to try out their games and their new systems or whatever and stuff. So just hearing rumors and rumblings of that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, it just makes me kind of interested in like knowing what exactly this device will be. That's
yeah. So we have potentially some details here.
Right.
Centrolynx, who has been a pretty reliable leaker in the past, they mostly on the Pokemon side of things. They had some details here. Yeah, I'm not 100% here. Obviously, it takes
a grain of salt. Yeah, they're usually like half and half.
Yeah, but They did have some details here that apparently Switch 2 dev kits have been out for a little while now. We've heard some stuff about like Mercury Steam, the people that make the like the Metroid games.
Yes,
they've had one for a while now. Sounds like more the in-house people have had theirs for a while now, and now it's starting to get out to the actual like partners. So dev kits are out there. Apparently, it is backwards compatible. There will be a new cartridge format, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's different. Apparently, technically, the DS and 3DS had different cartridges formats.
Yes.
Obviously, the 3DS was backwards compatible. So that doesn't mean anything. But it could be the fact that, like, you know, as games are getting bigger, we need bigger, you know, cards. Yeah, the cards that we currently have on the Switch are 16. And I believe only two games have used the 32 gigabyte one. Now the expectation is now we want bigger games on these things. So, there'll apparently be a camera feature on the dev kits, which, you know, obviously doesn't mean anything, could go away. Like we've heard about this before where like, you know, things change from the dev kit to the actual release sometimes, but there is a camera on the current dev kit. And apparently, Final Fantasy VII Remake, looks and runs like the PS5 version on the Switch 2 dev kit.
That's a big claim.
Yeah, okay. So it said port took no time. I'm told could be a launch game. Not sure. So, which Final Fantasy VII Remake was not a PS5 game. It was like a PS4 game that was up-res to PS5. So don't take that to like PS5 games will be coming to this thing and look like PS5 games. But obviously, like I said, take it with a grain of salt. That's what we have right now for information. I'm not going to do that every time there's leaks, rumors, but Central Link is a somewhat reliable source. So I just want to give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. Apparently there'll be a state of play soon. This comes from Jeff Grubb. And they said that potentially, the PS Plus price increase could have something to do with that. Like they're announcing this now, and then they'll have something at the state of play that will maybe counteract. Like maybe they're going to announce something to make it more worth our while. So,
oh, hey, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. You think normally you want to announce that shit with the bad news, but we'll wait and see.
Yep.
Next up here, Gunbrella got a release date, September 13th.
Yep.
My Fantasy Creek League is ruined. Both of them. also on September 13th, Nate the Hate and a couple other people have mentioned that it sounds like a Nintendo Direct will be happening on September 13th. So, there's been some, like, you know, we talked about there's been rumors about a Nintendo Direct happening, you know, in September. We had the Direct about Super Mario Wonder. I know technically it was August 31st, yes. But in Japan it's the first. So people were wondering if that was what it was. There could be an Nintendo Direct as soon as next week. Next up here, Final Fantasy 16 will be, they're working on, they announced yesterday that there'll be a PC port, and they're working on two different DLC expansions for it. So pretty cool news there. I'm excited for that to see kind of what they do with that. And then last but not least, sadly here, Volition, creators of the Saints Row games, was announced that they are shutting down permanently. Everybody will be losing their jobs. The most fucked up part was they literally announced it 5 minutes after the Starfield reviews dropped. So.
Oof. Yeah, that does suck. With Volition and stuff, I mean, yeah, best known for Saints Row and stuff, but all I can think about is like certain positive stuff for Volition and stuff, especially with Saints Row the Third and stuff, and like, you know, Saints Row 4 to some extent, you know, but yeah, unfortunately, you know, with the reboot for Saints Row and stuff that came out last year and stuff, it just did not hit at all, and it was just completely a dud. And what's hilarious more about this is like, that's the PlayStation Plus game of the month that's going to be coming next. Actually, it was it this month.
Yeah, next month. Yeah, it's coming. We should be getting it on Tuesday.
That's just sad. Yeah. But at the same point, you know, it's like I'm sad that people at Volition are going to be losing their jobs or being migrated elsewhere or something within like the parent company and stuff and Embracer Group and stuff. But at the same time, you know, it's like, they've had opportunities to create better games in regards to that after, like, Saints Row the Third, Saints Row 4, and stuff like that. But, like, there was that game that was, like, Mayhem. Agents of Mayhem. Agents of Mayhem, that flat, and then this complete reboot of Saints Row was just completely a dud in terms of not just the game itself, in terms of the graphical fidelity, the gameplay stuff, the structure, everything, but even from how the game ran and how the game like was presented for that, it just completely just upset a hell of a lot of people to the extent where not a lot of people wanted to buy the game.
Well, it sold multiple millions of copies, so it wasn't even. It like what's crazy is like, you know, we always read the Nintendo sales, and I always talk about like you can't base other companies, other games off that. Like that's like on that's like Barry Bonds, 2,000 levels. Like they're just like on a massive amount of steroids. Where the Nintendo how they're selling games right now, where like, I don't know, like most games, very few games sell millions of copies, a million copies, let alone multiple millions of copies. And the fact that like that game came out and immediately was like a multi-million seller for a AA game, and Embracer Group came out and said it was a disappointment, blows my mind. Even with Dead Island 2 immediately sold 2 million copies in the first week it was on out for sale. Dead Island 2, a game that's been in development hell for a decade and we all thought it would be trash, it came out as actually a pretty good game, and they said that was a disappointment. I'm like, this is like Square Enix levels of like mismanagement from them of like, what the fuck are you expecting these games to do?
How much like, they spend on the process for each of these games in order to warrant it to that extent?
Or like, are you just like expecting them to like, even if like they don't have these AAA budgets, but like they're expecting them to like, are you expecting them to sell 10 million units to like pay for everything else?
Yeah, no shit.
Like either you're giving these games way too much money or you're expecting these, like, you just have unrealistic expectations, kind of like the issue with like Square Enix Forever with like their American studios, where like Guardians of the Galaxy sells like a few million copies immediately and it loses money, or you know, Tomb Raider sold 7 million units the reboot, and it was considered a disappointment. They laid off a bunch of people. It's like shit like that. It's like I think the biggest issue was like, this is more of an Embracer Group thing, but it's like you brought back THQ with Nordic. And, like, you didn't learn any of the lessons of THQ Nordic, where it's, like, you're making, like, all these games. Like, the budgets now for video games are bigger than ever. But, like, you're making these games what maybe a AAA budget, but they're AA games on a AAA budget. Like, you got to, I don't know, like, you got to find a lane here. Like, you want to be THQ, which was known for making good, solid AA games.
Yes.
They weren't Game of the Year contenders. They weren't going to sell 20 million units. They had a good lane where they're going to, they're good, solid 7.5, 7 out of 10s. Maybe you get a winner that's an 8 out of 10. You're going to have some clunkers every now and again. But, like you didn't learn. You bought the studio that was best known for AA games. But you didn't learn any of the things they did that caused them to go out of business in the first place. So, and then, obviously, we talked about last week where we found out, like, you know, they had a $2 billion investment that they lost the last minute. And kind of find out Saudi Arabia. And it's like, I'm sorry. You're counting on Saudi Arabia to bail your fucking ass out? I don't know. Maybe you fucked up somewhere. And it's all like, I said this a while ago about Embracer Group. This is a very old South Park joke from like season like fucking 3 or 4. They are the underpants gnomes of the video game business world. Where people know there's a meme of the underpants gnomes. What they would do is they would steal underwear. And they like, remember one of the kids asked, I think it was Tweak, asked the, like he found the underpants gnome. He's like, why are you stealing the underwear? What's the plan here? And they had like a little chart, and it said step one, steal underwear. Step two was blank. Step three, profit. This is Embracer Group is the underpants gnomes of the video game business world. They just step one, buy every fucking studio that's just a run of the mill studio. Step two. Step three, profit. And it's just, they're just in this world, like, we're going to buy a lot of these AA, no disrespect to any of them. We're going to buy all these smaller studios, all these AA studios. We're going to pay way too much money for them. And hey, we're going to shit out remasters of these franchises that have been dead and buried for decades. We're going to half-ass them. I'm not talking much about the people working directly on the games, the developers. I'm talking about Embracer. They're just half-assing these remasters. With like fucking, what's the alien game? Destroy All Humans. We're just gonna throw out a remaster of that. these remakes of these like games from the 90s and 2000s that are just mediocre. They were just like, they were fun for the time. And hey, cool, you guys like that? Some people like, or like the SpongeBob game. They remastered like a GameCube SpongeBob game.
Yep.
And it had all the same fucking bugs and broken. It was a bad SpongeBob game from the GameCube era. And they remastered it, put it on modern day consoles, and it had all the same bugs and issues that the original game did. And then they made a new one. I don't know. I don't understand what they're doing. I never did, but now it's like, now I'm like, okay, well, they know better than I do because they're buying all these studios. They must have a plan. And no, they just didn't have a plan. They just like, we're going to keep getting investors to invest in us, and we're just going to keep buying shit, and eventually something will work out. And they're just going the same way as THQ Nordic, or THQ initially did. All they got to do is do a Wii U knockoff and go out of business. But let's move on, Gables. I've ranted enough today. I have to pee really bad, Gables. So I want you tell me about Armored Core, buddy.
All right. So yeah, that's one of the games I've been playing this week, Armored Core 6. So I just started this game tonight. I've been playing it for like at least about a good solid like hour, I want to say. But let me tell you something. This game actually plays pretty fucking good. And not to the extent to where it's like kind of like a generic sort of like action game or something like that. But you have a lot of depth in terms of how you can customize like the look of your robot. You definitely have a lot of like variations to where you could make certain like logos, certain symbols or something to just decorate your robot. Like say if you want to create a symbol of say like our podcast or something like that, our podcast logo and stuff, you can actually go forth and do that inside of like an editor. Then you can just paste it on the robot and stuff and just have the different colors and all this other stuff. But other than the looks, though, the gameplay, like I said, it's pretty awesome. It's fluid. There is a lot of various movement. You actually got a good control of your mech. You know, 621, I think it was. Or 614. I'm still trying to remember a lot of the names and the codes and all this other stuff. But, yeah, what I like the most about it so far is, yes, this is basically sort of like a robot version of Dark Souls or something like that. But at the same time, though, it is definitely fun to the extent where you still are going to be facing off against hard enemies, but the ease of use of where you can explore feels a lot more, what's the word for it? A lot more like open in terms of where you can go, what you can do and stuff. I know generally right now I'm still in that mission structure things where I'm still trying to learn all the different types of like controls, still trying to learn what type of upgrades are going to go forth and improve my mech to some extent. But before I even get to that and stuff, I had to go forth and earn a license and stuff by getting one of like the dead pilots and stuff license that were already there upon the planet Rubicon. But the first initial big boss battle of this game was against like a heavy weapon like Chopper. And what's kind of interesting, it kind of reminds me of the freaking Hind D sort of fight from Metal Gear Solid, but even a little bit more freeing than that. I mean, at least in that battle with Hind D and stuff, it's kind of a little bit more awkward and stuff with Snake and stuff trying to shoot at the damn copter, trying to get all this other shit. But dude, it was fast. It was intense. It was definitely one of those type of battles to where you have to be on your feet because here you have all these missiles and all of these like bullets and stuff that are just like shearing right past you and stuff. You're trying to dodge in the air. You're trying to go forth and get behind this helicopter and stuff in order to try to get some form of damage. What I like is there's an auto lock-on function with your robot. So if you press R3 on your controller, you can actually go and lock on so you can just shoot your missiles and stuff or shoot like your bullets and it'll just follow instinctively through there, like the homing feature and everything. Instead of it being like a separate feature, they allow you to do that from the get-go. It's so much easier to go and kill enemies that way. I mean, if I was doing it manually and stuff, I'd be missing all sorts of various shit. You know, I wouldn't be able to time my shots right and stuff to try to get things going initially. But this one battle, I actually died about 3 or 4 times because I was trying to figure out the pattern of this boss while simultaneously not die after using all my med kits. You know, at first I tried more of a kind of like an evasive sort of stealth route and stuff. Okay, let's hide behind some of these little buildings or some of these little towers or something like that, and then try to, you know, pot shot this thing. But no, the solution that I came up with is much more aggressive, to where I immediately, as soon as that chopper came into view after I scanned the last robot, like license ID and stuff, I shot a whole bunch of my missiles, shot a whole bunch of my bullets and stuff immediately, try to build up its stagger meter. That's the whole thing about this. It's like when you're facing off against the bosses in this game, much like other like Dark Souls-esque type of games, you can go forth and try to find a stagger point or like fill up a meter or something, to where when you completely fill it up, it gets into a stun state. And then in this case and scenario with my robot, I had to hold down the X button, just fly up, and then with L2, I have this freaking energy sword or something like that, where I can just slash and do a huge amount of damage to like an enemy and stuff. But yeah, you have like, there's like four different types of weapons you can go forth and use. At this moment, I have like two. I have the gun, I have like the sword and stuff. But L1 and R1 will actually have their own separate weapons when you earn them and when you find them on the field. But yeah, it was such an intense battle, to where I basically took like about three or four type of sequences in order for me to get this copter pretty much down to health to such an extent to where I finally was able to get it to like the final thing. I was like on my last repair kit and stuff like that. I just used that. My health is literally like about a couple hundred points before I get exploded again. And I take out that damn helicopter, and I managed to go and like finally advance past the first initial mission of this game to go into a more open world sort of feel to it. But yeah, I'm loving the freedom of exploring the certain parts of the overworld so far. I love how simple the controls feel. In other type of mech type of games, they would overcomplicate things, or your robot wouldn't really feel all that fluid to move. It feels like I'm piloting like a freaking like a Gundam, for like a robot from an anime or something like that, towards like the Gundams and stuff like that. They're easy to like to fly and this all other shit or something. But yet, depending upon what pieces, they'll make them much more easier and much more like difficult to handle based on what you do with them. But yeah, the first initial impression was a good one. Combat was fun. The atmosphere, obviously, it's like a post-apocalyptic thing where you're collecting various like elements from Planet Rubicon and stuff to try to fuel whatever type of all these major corporations or something like that are trying to vie for the same type of energy and stuff. But yeah, the only kind of gripes I have that I do have so far and stuff, it's just, you know, the atmosphere of it, the look of it, you know, it's sort of kind of like, it kind of reminds me of sort of like gaming styles and stuff from back like in the mid two stuff, to where even though I get it's supposed to be a grungy sort of like looking and stuff like that, it's really like a lot of grays, a lot of grays, a lot of blacks, and like a lot of that type of coloring schemes and stuff, to where it just feels a much more dense and compressed and like depressing in some aspects of it. But yeah, so far Armored Core 6 is pretty fun. But other than that, though, I did finish up the Pokemon trading card game on the NSO. So I managed to go forth and got to the final couple of trainers left and stuff. And it's kind of, the ending is sort of similar to that of like Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, to where you face the Elite Four and then you face off against the champion right after. But I actually went and, yeah, I actually went and like had two decks. I did the water stuff for the first trainer, and then the electric and fighting deck that I did. I basically just redid a lot of the monsters and a lot of the cards I got. Had like all these different types of like trainer cards that help me fuel through my deck and like get the right cards that I need. Plus, I decreased the amount of Pokemon I had inside the deck in order to affect this type of routine. So I basically won this entire game by defeating like the three trainers in a row with just like this electric fighting deck and stuff, with Raichu being the one that was actually took out like the last remaining like the champion and stuff like that. I'm very surprised I didn't play this back in the day, because this is fun to play. This is awesome in regards to like old school like spin-off Pokemon games, and yeah, it was highly enjoyable. But yeah, that's what I've been playing this week.
All right. Well, very cool, Gables. I've only been playing really one game this week. I've been playing Starfield. Just came out like Thursday night. Played for a little bit. Basically just did the character creator and like played a little bit the first part of the mission. Then really kind of dove in Friday night and then just been playing a bunch. I'm like 13 hours in now as of where we're at now on, you know, Saturday, on Sunday night. And man, I'm all over the place about this one, Gables. I have so many gripes and I have so many awesome things to say about this game at the same time. And it's more like nothing like game breaking awful. Just a lot of, there's just like a million, not a million. There's just a bunch of like small annoyances in this game that frustrate me. But it's the best parts of this game can kind of help kind of outdo that, like the negatives of it. If you have questions or anything, Gables, feel free to ask.
Okay, for one, does it play like a Bethesda game?
It feels like if instead of Fallout 4, we got Starfield in 2015.
Oh, okay. So basically, you probably... Let me guess. Are there glitches?
Actually, no. Let me rephrase that. Are there like little tiny things that happen every now and again? Yes. Yeah. But I would argue that they're not. They're more than like most big games come out nowadays. Like,
right.
Well polished ones. Obviously, there are like big ones that come out that are buggy and broken. But like, I would argue this is about on par with like a lot of big games that come out nowadays. I've had a couple issues where like my character at one point, I play mostly in first person, but like every now and again I accidentally hit the wrong button and I could go to the third person. And at one point my character was stuck in this falling emotion when I was walking, and so he was like doing this weird like he was I jumped and I was coming down, like I didn't land it, so he was like doing this weird, like my arms were on my side and like he's on his tippy toes and I was just floating across the ground. A couple times where like characters like walk in front of you like while you're talking to somebody. Or like just weird, like I had one where like a person was walking on the stairs and like their feet were like kind of going through the ground, but but barely, like that's what I mean. Like not a lot of glitches. There's like the Bethesda jank isn't really there, honestly. Like I'm honestly stunned. Like this is actually a really well-made game as far as like bugs go. Like, yeah, you're gonna run into them. It's not perfect by any sense.
Yes.
But there's no major issues. Like I haven't had any crashes. I haven't lost any progress so far, knock on wood. I have been doing, like, I know I've been playing a Bethesda game, so I do a lot of hard saves. Like about once an hour I'm like, oh, I probably should do a hard save just to be safe. But yeah, like the game runs fairly well. There's some frame rate dips every now and again, but like it's usually when I'm running, I'm sprinting through like an area with a lot of shit going on, and I'll kind of like chug for like a couple, like a hiccup, and then it's fine. That's no worse than most games nowadays. Honestly, like I can't, there's no glaring issue so far. I'm not, obviously it's one of those things where, you know, miles will vary on that. You know, some people probably like, we both played the same game sometimes, and one of us has had like, for the most part, fine. The other person's like dealing with a bunch of issues. It's one of those that just, like I said, some people, you know, have an issue, some people aren't. But like a lot of my issues are just like little things where it's like, we're in the 2300s. Gables and I, we've been doing this podcast over Skype for over a decade now.
Yeah.
And we can do this from 2000 miles away, but in the year 2300, where they have, settled several hundreds of different planets across many different systems, but nobody can somehow, there's no such thing as like a Skype in that time. There's no, like, apparently people can't send fucking emails, or there's no FaceTime. You have to go talk to everybody face to face, which is kind of annoying when you want to progress, when you finish a step in a level and like a mission. You can't just like call somebody and tell them or send an email or something. You have to go fly to that person and talk to that person face to face, which is kind of annoying, but I find that annoying in every game. Like I played Final Fantasy 16 earlier this year and it was like really annoying where it's like, I finished this thing, like cool. All right, go talk to this person. Right, I need to go talk to this person. So then I got to fast travel to this place, then walk over, talk to this person for a 30-second conversation. And then you go, I got to go back to that last person I had to talk to. Like, I found that annoying in Final Fantasy 16. And I can make the argument at least that, like, well, it's a fantasy game. They don't have technology then. But, like, I don't know. It's a fucking video game. Just let me send a goddamn, like, let me just beat the thing without to go talk to the person about it. Or I have to go, like, be the middleman and I go like, bounce back and forth. And, like, this is a futuristic game. Why the fuck do I have to go talk to somebody in person about every goddamn thing I do? I spent a lot of time in the goddamn menus, which is really annoying. It's like it's a lot of inventory management. I still do not like the encumbrance thing. Like,
so the encumbrance thing is still there.
Oh yeah, and Gibbles, I picked like you can pick like your kind of like starting abilities and like your backstory, and each one has like three different. Like you start off with already skill points in place for these. There's three, and I just pick long hauler because it starts off with a skill point for. Weightlifting or whatever, like basically you can carry more right off the bat.
Yes.
So I did that and I immediately maxed out that skill point, that skill tree. I'm like, I'm on level 12, I believe now. Like 13 hours in. And I immediately maxed out that ability. But also top of that, when you use a skill point to unlock a skill, you don't just get the skill. You have to complete a task to then get that skill.
There you go.
I want to increase my, I want to do the weight thing. There's four different ranks for each skill to completely max it out. It's like, cool. I want to do that. Well, you have to for the first one, you have to walk like 500 meters at 75% of your weight limit. So I was just running around the main area, like the first area you go in to unlock that. And then I got to the next one. Now it's like 1,000, then it's 2,500, then it's 5,000. You want to increase you want to use a skill point to, increase your pistol damage. You have to kill 20 people to unlock it. So you have to just use a skill point to unlock the ability to get that ability.
Okay, so this is kind of like a more evolved form of Oblivion, to where you have to use your skills in order to try to increase your stats. But
you have to level up to then get a skill point to then get the option to do that.
Oh, that just sounds worse.
Yeah, so it's kind of annoying in that sense. This isn't a major issue for the moment. I'm still having a great time with the game, but it's just
it's annoying.
Yeah, it's I just want the fucking skill. Just give me the guy. There's different. I don't know. I'm going on forever about that. That's kind of annoying. I maxed out my weightlifting for my character, and it's still nowhere near enough. I have my other character fully maxed out. There's workbenches where you can upgrade your spacesuit. Or your gear or your weapons, and you have all these resources you carry they have to use to upgrade your weapons, and I don't they take up so much fucking weight of your character and so much room that I'm just gonna leave them on the ship, but you have to have them on your person to use them at workbenches. So that's kind of fucking, so I just don't even bother upgrading. I just my weapons, I just get whenever I get new better weapons, I just get rid of the old ones.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, so I said, the whole you have to talk to people in person is kind of annoying, where it's I got to keep fast traveling. It is nice, though, you don't have to go into your ship to then fast travel to an area. You can just, wherever you're at, on a planet or on a spaceship or whatever, you can just, go to the menu, click on your mission that you're doing, click set course, and it'll automatically set the course to you to get to that, your mission, and you can just hit a button, fast travel there. There's a lot of loading screens, but the loading screens are very fast, or 5 seconds at most. So it's not like Fallout 4, my biggest issue that I fell off of after 35 hours was I got so sick and tired of spending time dealing with the encumbrance thing and then going back and forth doing the shit. But their loading screens were legitimately 60 to 90 seconds. I was I just don't want to play this game anymore. I got so frustrated with it. Besides all those issues, I still love this game. I'm still loving this game so far. I'm having a great time with this game. I just there's so many points in this game. I'm fuck. I just want to play the goddamn game. That's my issue. Spend a lot of time in menus, and there's the UI, the menu stuff. It's just it's so much. It's very overwhelming. They throw so much shit at you. I have a jetpack, Gables. I had no idea I had a jetpack until 45 minutes ago in gameplay time. But they give you a jetpack, and I was wearing one this whole game. I've been wearing one. I'm how the fuck do I use it? You have a jetpack, but you have to unlock the skill to use the jetpack.
Oh.
Which is kind of annoying. Yeah. The only reason I found that I have a jetpack is because the character running around with me, when I jumped down like a flight of stairs, started walking down it, I took like a mild amount of damage. It's like, this is why I have a jetpack. I'm like, I have a fucking jetpack? And I started doing some research. I'm like, oh, you have to like use a skill to, I'm like, well, anyways. But the game itself is fucking awesome. I don't like, it's the talk, like the characters, like it looks beautiful, like the colors, like you could definitely tell in certain areas, certain characters, they put more time and effort into others.
Right.
Where like main characters, like you're going to talk to a lot. You're going to zoom in. You're going to like go into like a talking animation with them with, like, they look really good. They're not like robotic. Like they're a little tight. Like it's not motion graphics like you would see like in like a lot of like, you know, like Star Wars Jedi games or like Last of Us. Like they're not like, this is like all hand animated, but like that's better. Like the game, like the voice acting is really good. The story is pretty good. Gables, I'm 13 hours in. I haven't done a single story mission. I something happened. I got arrested. I had contraband. Yeah. I got arrested, and it turned into me. I was like, okay, well, you pay this gigantic fine, or you go undercover for us, to go to the Crimson Fleet, which is like the pirates of this of Starfield, and like you have to go like and take them down. And I went going undercover. And Gables, I've basically spent the majority of my gameplay time, like, going down this mission of like, I'm playing both sides right now with like the cops of this universe and the Crimson Fleet, and like I'm doing missions for the Crimson Fleet, but then also I'm like handing over evidence for them. And I'm assuming at a certain point I'm gonna have to pick a side. But I've spent legitimately like 6-7 hours on this like this mission. This is a side quest. I mean the main mission. This is a side quest. I fell into my lap. And the missions are awesome. They're pretty beefy at some points. There's a lot of main, like huge, like character development in some of these. And like the mission, like there's a heist mission. You're on a cruise, like a luxury cruiser, and you get like a heist going on there. I had to go into like this crazy planet that was like been abandoned for over 100 years, and like learn about what happened here. Just dealing with all that, and then like trying to collect evidence for these cops. I joined the Vanguards, which I don't know what, they're not really cops, but they're like, you do like, you like kind of like you help like almost like hired, like illegal hired guns type of thing. Like you do like, you help like protect people kind of thing. You go like different systems to help people. I spent a few hours on that, like that whole like quest line for them. You know, like finding out what the fuck's going on. Like there's like these Terramorphs, which is like these gigantic like creatures that just wipe out entire civilizations on the planets.
Oh,
okay. And like going down this, like this fucking, line of quests for them. And yeah, I'm just having like a really good fucking time for the most part, playing this game. It's like, it's just like little things that get in the way of me wanting to play. It's like my biggest complaint is like things get in the way of me playing the game. But
right.
Other than that, like it's been a ton of fun. Like the space combat is really cool. The gameplay, the shooting, is actually really good. I'm not gonna say it's not like Halo or Doom or Call of Duty, but I would say it's like Far Cry, like the Far Cry game level. So like, yeah, like a B+ type of like shooter. There's tons of different like weapons you can choose from. The only thing is there's a lot of different types of weapons and like ammo types. So I have no idea like I can't keep track of like what ammo is for what, but. Yeah, like this game is brilliant, and like I think this is definitely a game where like I've something that's like really Fallout 3 is like the one Bethesda game that I really loved. You know, I played that, but that was because it was so different at the time. Like I played like 15-20 hours of New Vegas. I played like about 25 hours of Skyrim, and kind of fell off. Fallout 4, I put like 35 hours into it. And I just got tired of the loop. Didn't really care for the settlement stuff, and got frustrated overall with like. Like I said, the encumbrance, the loading screens, all that kind of stuff was frustrating to me. And I'm like, who knows? Maybe a week from now, I'm 25 hours in, and the same thing happens to me. But like, I don't like I said, I haven't done a single fucking story. I did the story missions you have to do before you can leave the main planet.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing I did. And I would say for people, if you're playing, like you jump in this game September 6th, when you get to the first like main planet, New Atlantis, just wander around the area. And like I was picking up so many side missions, just walking around, and like I was just dicking around, like just like doing a bunch of shit around on this planet. And like there's like the Vanguard missions I highly recommend doing, because it actually like takes you to like a museum that like explains the backstory, the kind of the lore, the like not like the deep, into the Duffy of the lore, but like the overall kind of what's going on, why we left Earth, what's going, like what has happened, like different wars have happened, right. Stuff like that. Kind of explain the backstory of how we got to where we are now. I did go to Earth. I don't want to spoil it for people.
Oh, wow.
That was kind of cool. I've been to Mars. I went to the moon. I went to like where the original moon landing was, which is pretty cool. The flag is still there, which is pretty sweet. I took a picture with that. Yeah, I'm having a really good time with this game. Like I have, like I said, I have a lot of small complaints, and I don't think it's like, I feel like if this game sours on me after a while, it's not like anything major. It's just like those kind of a death by a thousand cuts type of thing that could do it for me, but I don't feel like I'm anywhere near that right now. And like I said, we'll have to wait and see, but man, this game is good. It's definitely worth the wait for people. Like I said, if you're someone that just like loves playing Fallout 4 nowadays, like you're going to love this game. If you're wanting more from them, kind of like I think how I was, maybe even Gables was, a little disappointed, but depending on how frustrated you got with some of the stuff from like you wanting more from Bethesda to evolve, a little disappointing, but I think your level, like if that's like a no-go for you, then it's a no-go for you. But like I would say, at least give it a shot. If you have an Xbox or a PC, you have Game Pass, or if you even don't have Game Pass, just pay the $10 to just get it for a month and fucking check it out. The game is great. And it's like, but like I said, I feel like it's going to be like, the more hours you put into it, the more you can get out of it. It's kind of like, almost like right. a Tears of the Kingdom of Breath of the Wild situation, where the more you put into this game, the more you'll get out of it type of thing. And I think that's going to be the case for Starfield for people. So.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. That's all I've been playing. I'm playing a bunch the next 3 days. I can't wait to get back into it. Luckily, there's no more really wrestling for the next couple days, and no more fantasy drafts for me. So I don't have to worry about anything getting the goddamn way of Starfield.
Dude.
But I think it's going to wrap it up for everybody. I'll wrap it up for this week. So thanks, everybody, for watching, listening, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening and watching. So I appreciate it. Like I said, go to the description down below. Look for us on podcast services, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Nerds Nerds. YouTube, go look for us there. Subscribe, like, 5-star reviews, shares, all that stuff. Really appreciate if you do that for us. I was your host, Tyler.
I have been Colonel Gable. So until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk-Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Too sweet.
Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.